Hello and welcome to the Reloading Rag Chew episode 16. Starting to get things back on schedule. I don't think that this one's too far off of a week from the last one. I don't think. News going on right now. There hadn't been a lot of stuff in the reloading world that I've seen recently. The normal stuff here and there, Facebook's gotten really quiet on reloading stuff after all the groups have been getting shut down. But they're still holding on here and there, nothing too big. Today is, I'm recording this on the 17th. I don't know when it'll come out. And for those of you who follow the internet, that is Prime Day. I've been trying to post up anything reloading related that I find on Prime Day to help you guys out. I know that there was a sale, 20% off on a couple of RCBS setups. One was their Rock Chucker Supreme kit, which is really a good solid kit if you're just starting out reloading, especially if you intend to reload mostly rifle or large caliber pistol. The RCBS Charge Master, which is their electronic scale, was also 20% off. MTM had some of their ammo cans on sale for I forget how much, but fairly inexpensive. Their products are pretty cheap for the quality that they are. And Frankford Arsenal had a couple things, including their scale, which seems to be one of the best of the battery-powered scales. So if this comes out in time and you can still snap one of those deals up, there's some good things there. And I know Amazon is not exactly a gun store or an official industry partner, but they sell an awful lot of gun stuff. Throwing our business that way reduces the chance of them deciding to not sell it anymore if they're seeing a profit on it. They're not dumb. They do know how to make money. And I found their returns policy is exceptional if there's any kind of issue, especially if it's something right out of the box. You're not going to have to go to the manufacturer or do anything like that. Other things, and I've seen it come up recently a couple times while we're on the tune of sales and such things. eBay has been running a bunch of percent off days where it will be 15% off of anything or 20% off of anything over $150 or $25 off of any order over X amount. And it appears that these are funded entirely by eBay. The sellers don't get hit for the costs. Anything like that. Now, I'm not the world's biggest fan of eBay. I especially think compared to what it used to be, it's a dismal existence full of people who are just trying to get their foot in the door of running a business, not for us Joes out there that just have a couple things we found in our attic to sell. But one of the good things about these sales is it's a great way to bypass manufacturer minimum advertised price or MAP pricing. The biggest where this comes in is Dillon products. So for those of you who drink the blue Kool-Aid, Dillon's dealers cannot sell or advertise their presses below a certain price. It's to kind of keep the market even, keep anything from changing. So it's very rare to find a real sell on Dillon equipment because and I don't think their dealers make a huge amount of markup on their products. I could be wrong. I've never seen what their costs are, but based on the pricing and the competition in that market, I don't think that they're making a ton of money off of that. So you get something like that. Let's say you want a Dillon 123. Just make up some numbers here, and it costs $400. Well, it's going to cost $400. You might find someone selling it for $390, or you might find someone selling it for $400 with free shipping. Or I know that Shooter's Pro Shop sells them, and they sell them at MAP pricing, but then they give you a coupon that's good for a discount on bullets. So there's ways that companies can get around that a little bit. But with this, if someone on eBay happens to be selling the Dillon 123 or whatever model you want, and it's normally $400 and they're selling it for $400 and there's a 15% off coupon, well, right there you can save 60 bucks on it and that seller isn't violating their pricing agreement because they're not the ones that are actually marking it down. You're getting a rebate basically through this third party called eBay. So, like I said, I don't love eBay, but that can be a really good way to kind of bypass that minimum advertised price on Dillon products and get them a little bit cheaper, which can help out. And if you'll look, most of the guys selling the stuff on eBay are authorized Dillon dealers. It's not like you're buying a gray market or a black market press. You're buying from a dealer that just, they may not be big enough to start their own web store and deal with all of that. So they're using eBay as basically a payment processor and advertising. Not a bad gig for anybody. You get it a little bit cheaper, they still get their money. Dillon still gets theirs. Technically, they didn't violate the MAP pricing, and we're all good. So those are the kind of things I'm going to try and be a little bit more active in the future about. Basically, when I see deals and stuff like that, throwing them up on the Facebook page, especially because that's very easy to do, just to try and help you guys out. Let's get down to the actual topic for today. Shotgun reloading. I wanted to do this one. I will start this one out by saying I am not an expert shotgun reloader. I've reloaded probably 2,000 rounds of shotgun, which in the grand scheme of things is peanuts compared to a lot of the guys out there that are serious into it. But it's also one that I see come up all the time with people asking what's required. And it's different enough from metallic reloading, which is what we call normal rifle and pistol, that it confuses a lot of people. They don't realize just there's some things that are very similar. You still have a primer, you still have powder, you still have some form of projectile, you still have a case, now called a hull, but there's also a lot that's very different. And I think that those differences are good to know. The other thing is, unlike, and we'll get into this some more, unlike with rifle and pistol shooting, certain kinds of shotgun reloading are very hard to see a ROI or return on investment. So before you just jump into it, I think it's something that you really want to have some information on so that you don't do something and run out and spend a bunch of money that doesn't really help you out. Unfortunately, when I first started, kind of did that. Yeah, I'll get into that in a little bit, but it was a bit of a whim purchase. It wasn't much money for me, so I was pretty quickly able to, say, okay, well, this is just for fun. But we'll go into the financials of it and why it doesn't make sense for everybody. So, as we're talking shotgun reloading, I'm going to talk primarily about three kinds of shotgun reloading, because these exist no matter what you're loading, what gauge it is, whether it's a 410 bore all the way up to a 10 or an 8 gauge. You've got your birdshot, which is generally things that you're either going to hunt various small flying creatures, hence the term birdshot, or are going to be used for hunting clay pigeons. I'm going to call this anything from number 7 shot and smaller. So 7 to I think 12 is about the smallest practical shot. The next one I'm going to call buckshot, and I'm going to expand the definition of this a little bit. I'm going to call buckshot anything from, say, fives and sixes bigger, which means up to 4-aught buck, or I think there may be 5-aught buck. The reason I say that that's not quite right is most people define buckshot ending somewhere around number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4 shot. But in terms of reloading it, and also especially in terms of the financial stuff when we get into that, there's a big difference between that and the birdshot. And then finally is slugs, which I'm going to just loosely defined as anything that's got one solid mass of lead or other metal. So, I'm going to talk about those three, and things are going to vary slightly between those. So, let's start on the affordability thing. Shotgun reloading, in a lot of ways, is fairly cheap, but the problem is that it's also very cheap to go out and buy loaded rounds. You can often go out and find, for birdshot, we're going to stick with birdshot here. For birdshot, you can very often go out and go to a major retailer or a shotgun-focused small retailer and buy shells for $4.50 to $5 a box. That's typically 25 shells, so that works out to, let me do a little math here. That works out to about 18 cents per shot. Now, on the flip side of that, the most expensive thing when you're reloading shotguns is the shot. Shot has gone up enormously in the past few years. The last shot tower, if there was, there may be a shot tower still working in the United States, but I believe it closed down, and it closed down about 5 or 10 years ago. And ever since then, the cost of shot has gone up. So if you go to Cabela's, for example, off the shelf, it's $45 for 25 pounds of shot. So we're going to call it $1.90 a pound for shot. Now, your average load is an ounce for a 12-gauge slug. Because let's talk 12-gauge for now. So that means that you get 16 of those per. Well, if we look at the math, you're paying almost 12 cents a load just for the lead to put in it. Now, you got to think your primer costs a little bit, your powder costs a little bit, your wad costs a little bit. We'll talk about what all those are. You're probably talking that you're paying 17 or 18 cents each to load these things. So you can buy them pre-made for 18 cents, or you can load them for 16 to 17 cents if you're paying retail prices. That's going to take a while at a penny per to make your money back. And if you count your time as worth anything, you're not going to. So you can look at it there and go, well, that's stupid. Why would anybody load shotgun? Well, there's a few good reasons. For one, we're talking about birdshot there. When we get into the realm of buckshot and slugs, it's a lot more expensive to buy loaded rounds. There, you're typically buying 5-round boxes or quantities of 5-round boxes. And you could be paying upwards of $1 or $2 per shot. If you're doing any kind of competition, say 3-gun, where you go through a number of slugs or buckshot or something like that frequently, that can add up pretty quickly. And like we'll talk about later, if you cast your own, that's where you can save some significant dollars. The other place is, I did all that math based on 12-gauge. 12-gauge and 20-gauge, very common, very hard to save money. You can drive to Walmart and buy a huge box of shells for pretty cheap on both of those. But what if you shoot something else? What if you shoot 16-gauge or 28-gauge or 410 bore? All of those all of a sudden cost a lot more if you can find them in the store. So that's where if you shoot a 16-gauge, you know, I've got a 16-gauge press that I'll talk about here. I don't have a 16-gauge shotgun. I'd like one, and I know that if I get it, I'm probably going to have to reload because I can't walk into my store locally and buy 16-gauge shells reliably. And when I do, they're probably going to cost twice as much as the 12-gauge for the same effective load. So right off the bat, affordability. If you're trying to find a way to shoot your 12-gauge shotgun at clay pigeons cheaper, I would recommend save your money up and buy bulk preloaded ammo. So let's get past that. Let's say that you do have a reason to reload this. So what equipment do you need? Well, to start with, in general, you do not use the same press that you do for metallic reloading. There are a few exceptions to that. There were a few brands in the past that sold reloading dies for especially the smaller ones, like 410. In general, though, you're going to have a dedicated press. The other thing tends to be with reloading with shotgun reloading presses is that you dedicate the press to a particular size. It's not quick change dies that are all standardized like you get in metallic reloading, where you just screw the die out, you screw the new one, and you're done. With shotgun reloading, for example, I've got a Mech Junior Mark V. That sounds right. They sell them in everything from 410 to 10 gauge. Mine happens to be a 12 gauge, that's how I bought it. You can buy caliber conversion kits, but I want to say the press itself costs 180, 200 bucks, somewhere in that. And the conversion kit to go to a different one is like $70. And it probably, judging from the last time I took it apart and did everything, it would probably take me an hour to swap it over. So I'm not going to say that all shotgun reloading presses are like that, but in general, you have a 12 gauge press or a 20 gauge press or a 410 press, whatever it might be, and you're not going to change caliber sizes very often or gauge sizes very often. So that's part of if you see one that's out there, let's say you see a 410 or a 16 gauge mech. Don't buy it with the plan of converting it to 12 gauge. You're probably going to end up paying almost what a new one costs. Let someone that needs a 16 gauge buy it and just buy a 12 gauge. One will turn up. The good thing is you can get into the shotgun presses very cheap with a product called the Lee Lodol. It's a very interesting press. It is almost entirely made of plastic. It's an all-in-one. Honestly, it looks kind of cheesy, but they work really well because you don't have the forces on a shotgun shell that you do on a metallic cartridge. They're, I want to say, retails 40 to 50 bucks. You can find them on sale. I mentioned I had a 16 gauge. I picked it up because I found it on Amazon on clearance for like $16 or $18. It was basically so cheap that it was worth buying to throw on the shelf in case I ever buy a 16 gauge. It's still brand new in the box. I haven't even opened it. I don't have a reason to. So, for a very cheap price, you can get a press that lets you start reloading. Kind of on the middle end, those are those mech presses like I use for my 12 gauge. They have a wide variety, everything from a single stage that just sizes the cartridge. They've got ones where it's, I'm going to call it a semi-progressive, almost a turret press for shotgun. That's what the Junior Mark V that I've got is, where you all the dies stay put and you move the cartridge between them. They've got all the way up to a full progressive type of press where it feeds the shells through. And then we get into the high-end presses. And one thing, like I said, it's very hard to save money on this. The other thing is if you look at a shotgun shooter, they shoot a lot of rounds per year or per month or whatever measure of time you do it. Most guys that have an AR or something like that, they're gonna shoot 1,000, maybe 2,000 rounds a year if they're a sort of active shooter. A sort of active shotgun shooter could shoot 10 to 20,000 rounds per year. So because of that, much like you see on the high-end Dillons, like the 1050s, they've got the auto drive units that automatically churn through them. Most of those got their inspiration from the shotgun reloading crowd. They were very early in the game to have basically automated reloaders. The other thing is, shotgun reloaders tend to be all volume driven. You have a powder bushing that dispenses a measured size of powder by volume. You measure your shot by volume. Because of that, it's very easy to automate the process. Pretty much as long as something's pulling the handle, flipping the powder versus shot lever, you can go through it. So what you'll find is very quickly you jump into the high end and you've got electrically or hydraulically powered presses that will just sit there and churn out shells as long as you can keep dumping powder primers, shot, and hulls in them. So, and those go very quickly, they go up in price. So you could get a good mech for a couple hundred bucks new, and the next stage up, you're talking $1,000 or more. Now, in the used end, because SHOT has gone up so much in price and so many people have jumped out of the game, the prices on shotgun reloaders are very low on resale value versus a metallic reloader. You can buy a Lee Pro 1000, you pay 150 bucks for it, and you turn around and sell it for 120 bucks when it's used. A shotgun reloader that once cost $1,200 now may struggle to sell for $300 or $400 because there's just not the demand out there for them. So if you're looking at getting into this, I highly recommend looking on the used market. There's not a whole lot to wear out on these, and when it is worn out, it's going to be pretty easy to tell. The other option with shotgun reloading, and part of this gets into, I wouldn't do these for your average birdshot reloading. It adds to the complexity, it adds to the time. But there are ways to reload these, to reload a shotgun shell without using a press. For example, there's sizing only type works. There are ways to seat primers that are very similar to the Lee hand loaders are for metallic, where you basically tap a primer in. And then you can do what's called a roll crimp, and we'll get into that. And you can buy a roll crimper for 40 or 50 bucks. It goes in your drill, and that can be a very good way to handle it if you're shooting slugs or buckshot. There are other options. In fact, if you gave me a choice of different things to reload and told me that I had to do it with what I could find around the average house, I would choose a shotgun load every time, because with a hammer and a dowel and a little ingenuity, I could come up with a way to load that shotgun shell. So, what components do we have? We've got the equipment. Now, what do we need to make this work? Well, the first thing, and the analog to the shell casing, is the hull. The hull's the plastic and metal bit that holds it all together. This seems basic, but there's a lot of variability. I was going to call it science, but variability. You've got high brass, which is where there's a lot of metal on the bottom. You've got low brass, which is where there's not much. You've got brass, where it's made out of brass. You've got steel ones, which are cheap. They're great because you can pick them up with a magnet. You've got American style hulls. You've got European, which that can break you down into straight wall versus tapered. There's a lot of choices here. And one thing we'll talk about a little bit later is shotgun loads are particular. You need to stick with the same thing over and over. So what I would recommend is find the kind of hulls that you like and keep loading them. Hulls are dirt cheap. I often see people trying to sell hulls, and really, unless they're something special, they ain't worth the space they take to try and keep them. When you measure, you may say, I've got a jar full of 308. That's worth a pretty good bit. And it is. The same value of hulls may be a 30-gallon trash barrel full. It's a lot of space to use up. Hulls don't require as much cleaning and prep as metallic cartridges do, is a good thing about them. And because they're so cheap, I don't really clean mine. And if I get any that look funky, they've got rust on them, they've got dirt on them, I tend to just throw them away. I sort mine basically between domestic high brass, domestic low brass, European, which you'll often see called Euro trash. These are your Noble Sports, all of those. And the European brass. Or not brass, sorry, hulls. I actually really like the European hulls. We might talk about that later. So you got your hull. That's the thing that holds it all together. Make sure whatever load you're using, you've got the hulls that match. Pretty simple. Primers. Now, if you've ever looked at a shotgun primer versus a rifle or pistol primer, they're quite different. For one, they're a lot larger. In addition, the way that they fire, they don't tend to look as damaged as a metallic cartridge primer that tends to just disintegrate after it's fired. It's going to be fairly intact. Now, there's another one where we get into American versus European. European primers are ever so slightly larger. I think it's like 0.001. But what it means is if you're using those to reload, you can't switch those same hulls that you've used back to the American primers because they're going to be loose and they may fall out. Like I said, this stuff gets complicated. The other thing is, with metallic reloading, if you're loading small pistol primers, it really doesn't matter what brand you use. You can pretty much hop between CCI, Federal, any of the brands, and no big issues with it. It just works. Now, shotguns are a completely different story than that. With shotguns, the primer greatly changes the pressure within the case. Basically, they'll say that some primers are hotter and some primers are colder. For that reason, when you find a load, you can't just willy-nilly switch primers. At the very least, if you cannot get your normal primer, you need to do research and find one that has a very similar energy output to it. And then probably download your next few loads until you make sure that that works. So that's a big thing. Primers are different between brands, between models. There's a lot of them are called 210 primers, because I forget who started that designation. And between like a 210 and a 210M, there's a huge difference in case pressure. So the next thing, you've got your case, you got your primer shoved in the bottom. Next, you've got your powder, stuff that goes boom. Now, this you'll probably be familiar with because most good shotgun powders overlap with pistol powders. They're both very fast burning powders. Hodgson Clay's, which is a great 45 ACP powder, is called Clay's because it was originally developed to shoot clay pigeons. So you'll find that a lot of those overlap. So if you're already a pistol reloader, you've probably got a powder that's going to work for you. You don't tend to ever see the slower powders. Like, I don't think a shotgun's ever going to be reloaded with H110, even, much less any of the rifle powders. So next we've got the wad. What does the wad do? Well, in a metallic cartridge, the bullet is strong enough to withstand the energy of the powder explosion, and it seals against the bore. With a shotgun, especially with your typical bird shot, if you were to put just powder in there and shot on top of it, you'd get a puff, and I don't even think the shot would leave the barrel. There's nothing to seal it to the outside of the barrel. That's what the wad does. Now, getting into wad science, I don't even want to try and do that here. Like I said, I'm not that experienced a shotgun reloader. The guys that are could probably talk to you for 4 or 5 days about wad geometry and design and so on and so forth. A wad can vary anything from a piece of felt that is cut in a circle to fit, all the way to a very scientifically designed CNC, molded piece of plastic with a buffer zone and a cup that's designed a specific way and pedals that could be open or couldn't. There's tons and tons of choices out there. In the end, what you need to do is look, your choice of how much you want your shot to weigh is going to affect what wad you used. What kind of hull that you're using is going to affect what wad you use. And then certain wads are known for being better at certain types of spread or pattern than others. Some may be a wad that tends to keep a tighter pattern, maybe for turkey hunting. Some are things that spread the load pretty wide, maybe for close-in type of skeet shooting sports. So there are tons and tons of choices out there. There's a few that are very, very popular, and it's a good idea to start with those. For example, the WAA12 is a really popular load or wad. One of the main vendors that I use, Ballistic Products Inc., they're the big name in the shotgun reloading world. They literally wrote books on this, and they've got a ton of load data. They're very good at it. They've got their own line of wads, which I think are called PT wads. I've been using them and been very happy with them. You know, I don't have that much to compare them to, but the cost versus performance that I get, I see no downside to the wads that cost twice versus the wads that cost twice as much as theirs. So get a wad based on what you're loading. Get a slug wad if you're loading slugs. Get a buckshot wad if you're loading buckshot. Get a 7/8 wad if you're loading 7/8. Get a 1 1/4 if you're loading 1 1/4. Whatever, do your research. You're going to have to figure that one out. That's probably your biggest choice there. The good thing is wads are pretty cheap. Generally, you buy them in bags of like 250 or more, and that might cost you 10 or 15 bucks. So it's pretty cheap to experiment. Okay, so what's our next thing? Shot. The main whole point of what we're trying to do here is what we're trying to throw down range. This is where there is less and more choices than your typical metallic reloading. Metallic reloading, there is a dozen different types of even the same weight bullet. You got some that are a more tapered profile, some that are a straighter profile, some that are hollow points, some that are hollow points that expand at different velocities, some that are all copper, some that are all lead, some that are jacketed. You know, there's a billion choices out there. With shotgun, you tend to have little round balls of lead is your basic. Now, you get into slugs and there's a little bit more design there. In fact, if you really care, Tough Later Mouse on YouTube tests a billion different kinds of slugs that I don't even know where he digs some of them up. Some of them are custom made. Some of them you can't buy anymore. But there's all sorts of different slug designs out there. With the shot, you do have your traditional lead, and now because of hunting regulations of not being able to use lead shot, there are other materials that they're made of. This can be anything from straight steel to bismuth shot to nickel-plated shot. So you do get a little bit of variety there, but in general, it's different sizes of little round balls. It's pretty simple. The shot is numbered for when it's round. So for example, and the higher the number, the smaller it is. So a number 12 is stuff that looks kind of like large dust, all the way down to a 0, and then you go into your aught sizes. So 2-0 or 0-0, 3-0, 0-0-0, 4-0, you know the picture. Double-aught buck is a very common size. You can fit 9 of them in your average 12-gauge shell. It's, I think, about 1/4 inch. It's right about the same diameter as a 9mm bullet, so I guess it's a bit bigger than 1/4 inch. But there are bigger shot sizes than double-aught buck, even though that kind of gets the name. You just can fit less of them. So you got your slugs. There's different designs of that. You got your buckshot, you got your birdshot. What you use entirely depends on what you're trying to go after. If you're trying to go after clay pigeons, you're probably going to use 8s, 9s, or 10s. I like to use somewhere around 8s. If you're going after rabbits, you're probably going to use 4s to 6s, somewhere in there. It gets you a little bit of spread, but it's got enough energy to penetrate. If you're going after deer, you're probably going to use 00, 30, 0, somewhere in there, because you need a pretty good bit of power behind that. Or you could use slugs. If you're going after bear, the bigger the better. I'd probably use slugs at that point. That's a whole other conversation based on what you're hunting, where you're hunting, what you're allowed to use, what you know, whether you need an alternative to lead, whether you can use lead. There's tons of options there. But we're just going to talk about shoving them in a hull and reloading them. So, getting into that saving money. Hulls, cheap. You pretty much get them for free. If you show up to a big shotgun range, no one is going to stop you if you sit there for 2 hours and pick up everybody's shells. No one is going to stop you if you start digging through their trash cans. These things get generated super quickly. Actually, ironically, I'm out of hulls right now for my normal loads, but that's mostly because I've been too lazy to go to the club and dig through the garbage can and find new ones. That, and it's raining every 2 days here, so I know that they're all going to be nasty and full of water, and I don't really want to deal with that. So hulls, cheap. Primers are a little bit more expensive than your typical pistol rifle primers. You know, if those are, let's say, $26 a box, shotgun primers are probably usually going to be about $32. Not significant enough, and that's for the same quantity. Your wads, like I said, they're pretty cheap. You're probably talking a couple cents each. Now, your shot, like I said, that's your expensive part. So, how do we, you know, my example was that we bought shot off the shelf at Cabela's. How do we save money on shot? There are ways to do this. One, it's become a very popular thing is reclaimed shot. Basically, if you go to a shotgun ranges, like I say, people shoot shotguns a lot. And a lot of shotgun ranges, most of the impact areas are all in the same area because people are shooting in the same place. So people will go in there, they'll take them a backhoe, they'll dig out a huge chunk of dirt, and they'll put it through a sifter, and they'll sift out all the lead. That's what we call reclaimed shot. Reclaimed shot is typically much cheaper. If new shot is 40, $45 a bag, reclaimed is 25 or 30, sometimes cheaper if you buy it in bulk. Now, it's usually mixed sizes, and because they tend to dig these out of sporting clay or skeet ranges, you're going to get a mix between sevens and nines. Now, if you've got it mixed, does that really matter? Not the way I shoot, and not the way most people shoot. If you're an Olympic athlete level shooter, certainly go buy your new stuff. You're probably going to notice the difference between eights and sevens. About the only time I'm going to notice something's different is if someone sneaks a slug into my bag and I put that through when I was expecting birdshot. I gotta be honest. So, reclaim shot's a great opportunity. Even better if you've got someone that reclaims shot locally because you're shipping things that weigh 25 pounds a bag. It's not cheap to ship. Flat rate boxes have made it a little better, but you're still talking if you've got to pay $12 for a flat rate box and you're paying $20 for the shot, you're increasing your cost 50% by shipping it. Another option is you can make your own bird shot. There are devices called shot drippers that basically drip lead out of a specifically sized hole, which is about the same size as a welding nozzle, down a little ramp and into some kind of liquid that rapidly cools it. There are commercial made shot drippers out there. The Littleton Shot Maker is probably the one that I've heard of the most. You can also do it yourself. I've got pieces and parts that I've been collecting for a while to do it. Just know if you're going to go down that road, there's a bit of experimenting to getting it right. There's everything from the lead temperature, the lead mixture, how far you let it drop, what you drop it into, the temperature of what you're dropping it into. And if you screw it up, you can end up with basically lead snowflakes, or you can end up with out of round shot, which I'd probably still shoot. But don't expect if you get one of those to be able to churn nice round lead shot out the first time you use it. Expect a little bit of practice. The good thing is, there's not much work to it once you get it going. You keep feeding lead bars into the top, they melt, and shot comes out the other end. Pretty simple process. You can crank through a pretty good bit. So for that, you're probably, if you're having to buy lead, let's say 80 cents to a buck a pound, you're saving 50% over the cost of store-bought shot. If you're able to get your lead cheap, like reclaimed tire weight, stuff like that, you can make it very cheap. The other option that's really popular with shotgun clubs is if you do a bulk order, the price can come down significantly. And for example, my club, we have a lot of shotgun guys, and about 2 to 4 times a year, we buy basically a semi-truck of clay pigeons. And the company that we buy it from, because we're already getting a semi shipped to us, and we're a bulk order, you can call in and have other things added to that order that ship on that same truck, which, so it's free shipping, and get bulk quantities of shot very quick. Most shotgun clubs have some kind of arrangement like this set up, where their members will get together and buy like a truckload of lead and clays, and sometimes powder and primers and all sorts of stuff. And that can be a great way. You're buying new shot, but you're typically getting a pretty steep discount because of the bulk. So that's some ways to save it. Now, on buckshot and slugs, these are ones you can save a significant amount of money on. And the best way to do that is to cast. All the major mold manufacturers have slug molds. Lee makes some great buckshot molds. I think their big one will do 18 pieces at a time. So definitely there. The ones that are hard to get, and you pretty much have to buy them at rack rates, are your specialty shot. Bismuth shot. Steel shot, you could probably substitute ball bearings. I'm not going to count on that, though. I really don't know that much about loading steel shot. But those, a lot of times, you're going to have to buy. And most of the guys that buy those is because they want a very specific load. So that's how we can save a little cash here and there. Sometimes you can actually find lead shot gets used for other things out there. Scuba weights, all sorts of stuff. I actually picked up about 80 pounds of lead shot, and it was number 8s, I believe, from a guy that had bought it a while ago and used it to basically weigh down speaker stands. And I think I gave this guy like $15 for 80 pounds. A friend of mine found him on Craigslist and sent me the info, and I couldn't drive down there fast enough. So it is possible to find some deals out there. I'm actually on a mission to try and load my pet load. I've got a Beretta, an older Beretta over and under, and it's a field model, so it's very light for an over and under. It has no recoil pad on it. And if you run your normal 1 1/8 ounce 12 gauges, after a couple hundred, you start to get sore. I really like shooting 7/8 loads. And since the only place I could reliably find 7/8 loads is Dick's, and I refuse to shop there, I've started trying to load my own. And my mission is to load these as cheap as possible. So I'm using that lead shot that I found cheap. I found some Ramshot competition powder on clearance for $8 a pound. My primers were not cheap. I bought those at the height of the panic, and they were $50 for the box. I'm kind of losing there. I bought a bunch of PT wads from BPI when they were on sale. And the hulls, I'm using all recycled Eurotrash hulls. So I'm churning them out pretty quick. I've got about 500 so far. And like I said, I ran out of hulls, so I need to run by the club and get more. But it's going to be interesting at this point, after I get more hulls, to see what runs out first. It should be the primers, and then I've got to go find more primers. But I've got about 3 pounds of powder unopened, and I don't know how much shot, because I haven't really weighed it. But I've moved it a couple times, and I can tell you it by the groan in the arm picking it up, it's still a decent bit. So how do we reload this? It's not that much different. First, we're going to deprime it. You're going to poke the primer out, just like you do with a metallic cartridge. Second, and often at the same time, we're going to resize it. Now, resizing is a little different on these, because 90% of the length of it don't matter. The only part that we're going to resize is the part at the bottom, that little brass part. Now, if you don't resize it, it won't fit in your shotgun. So I would recommend, as you're starting this out, resize one and stick it in the shotgun and make sure it drops in cleanly. You don't want to have to push it in. That's a recipe for you're going to get some carbon buildup or some dirt or something. Next thing you know, you got the gun jammed up. You want it to drop in nice and easily. So we deprimed it, we resized it, just like before. Now we're going to prime it. We're going to cram a primer in the hole in the back. Like I said, those European primers are a little bit bigger than the normal primers, so you'll actually notice a little bit more force required to prime those the first time. After that, stretches it out, we're all good. We got hull with the primer in it, it's resized. We're going to dump our powder in. Now, like I said before, most shotgun reloaders do everything based on volumetric, very similar to your average powder thrower. So if you go on any powder manufacturer's website, they're going to have a bushing chart. Bushings are typically numbered, but the numbers between brands are not the same. A number 21 for Lee is not the same as a number 21 for Mech. In addition, the bushings are not really interchangeable between presses with a few exceptions. One thing, and we'll get into this later when we talk about safety, those bushing charts are recommendations to start. They're not going to be 100%. Powder changes. Powder changes between lot to lot. Powder changes when they change manufacturer. As a result, you've got to weigh your powder charge. And don't, unfortunately, it's one of the headaches of shotgun reloading. Bushings are $3 or $4 each. If you look in your guide and it says that you're a bushing number 18, I would order 17, 18, and 19. Because there's a really good chance that that 18 is not going to be exactly right, and you're going to have to go up or down. And the $4 or whatever for a bushing isn't that bad, but having to pay shipping on a $4 bushing sucks. Your other option is a lot of presses now have a adjustable charge bar, which is what I've gone to. And it's very similar to the technology in most powder throwers. There's a screw-in, screw-out kind of thing. Works fine. So we dump our powder in. We weigh it. We dump it back in. Once you get it down, it's just like a powder thrower. They're pretty consistent as long as the powder, you know, doesn't clump up or have any issues. Normal, you're talking 15, 20 grains, somewhere in that range of powder. So lighter than most rifles, heavier than most pistols. Next, we're going to put something on top of that powder, and that's going to be that wad. Now, whether it's a piece of felt, whether it's some highly advanced plastic wad, whatever it might be, for one, make sure it's right side up, or else you're just going to be throwing the thing out. For two, the wad does need to be compressed into it, and most loaders will have some form of spring or something with a gauge to show you how much pressure you're putting on it. You don't want to crunch the powder down into nothing, but you do want to make sure that that wad is firmly seated against the powder. In addition, if you don't push the wad all the way down, you're going to have problems on the crimp step. So we got our wad in there. We shoved it down. We used the reloader. Next is the shot. Shot is typically measured volumetrically, just like the powder was. So you'll get either the 7/8 bushing, or you'll adjust your powder measure to throw 7/8. And you'll dump it in the case. The hull. Sorry. Keep using the wrong term there. Now, you may think this doesn't matter much. But in fact, the load of the shot being correct is probably, between that and the wrong wad, is the most common issues when you have crimp problems. The shot basically needs to fill the cartridge up to right where the crimp needs to be. So you may have to play with it a little bit. I've seen people that actually hone out the bushing for the shot a little bit to get it to throw exactly what they need. So finally, we're going to close it off. We're going to crimp it down. Now, unlike metallic reloading, crimping isn't an option here. If you don't crimp, your shot's just going to dump everywhere as soon as you pick the shell up. Now, there's two kinds of crimping that you usually see. One is what I'll call your traditional or star crimp. This is where the petals are folded down into the center. They make a nice little star. There's a little bit of an edge around it. That's what most presses are going to do by default. Now, there are 6-point and 8-point crimps. And you're supposed to have different starters between the two. I'll be honest, I typically don't care and it works okay. But if I was super picky about my rounds, I would care. Crimping is where everything's going to go south, if it's going to go south somewhere. You might have one that the thing pops right back open. You might have one that doesn't close in the middle and it's leaking the shot out. You might have one that's off center. The good thing is most bad crimps are safe to shoot. The other thing is, because it's a really common problem, if you search for crimp issues on Google, you'll get a whole page full of stuff showing you this is what it looks like, this is what went wrong, this is what it looks like, this is what went wrong. And you can narrow it down and play with it. Where you're really playing with it, the height of the crimpers a little bit, a lot of it comes down to the shot and the wad being correct. And that's where you may find that in your particular hull that you're using, you have to use a shorter or a taller wad. You have to use a little bit more shot, or you have to use a little bit less shot. There's all sorts of things. Your other option is what they call a roll crimp. And this is really common on factory slugs. And basically, the top of the shell is rolled over to the inside. If you do this with something other than a slug, you need what's called an overshot card, which is a plastic or paper disc that sits on top of the shot, and then the roll holds that down because the roll will just be around the edge. Good things about roll crimps, for one, the only tool you need to do it is this little thing that goes in a drill and basically pushes it down. The other thing is, whereas a star crimp is going to be based on a specific length, your press is set for that length of shell. A roll crimp can be done really on any length of shell. So if you wanted to make you some of those mini shells that have gotten popular, roll crimp will let you do it. If you had a bunch of hulls that were really, really good quality, but maybe the ends got torn up, you can actually trim the end off and make you ones that are a little bit shorter with that. So, and you can get overshot cards that are labeled with the size of shot. So it can also be a really cool way to kind of make a really good finished looking shell of you have your double aught buck overshot card that may be color coded on all your double shot buck rounds. So definitely an option. BPI, as I've said, they're kind of the 800-pound gorilla in this market. They sell one that's like $40 or something that's very well thought of. You do have to have one for each different type of hull that you load, the sizes, whether it's 20 or 12 gauge. I keep meaning to pick one up because I've got some old hulls that I want to cut off and make some. I don't want them as short as the mini shells. I want some kind of midi 12 gauge shells to see. I want to kind of get it perfect in that realm of cramming just the most I can for buckshot into my shotgun tube with no real extra space. So that's how we load it. A lot of the steps are very the same. We deprime and resize it. We shove a primer in it. We shove some powder in it. The wad's kind of a different step because we don't have anything like that. We put shot in, or buckshot, or a slug, or whatever it might be. We crimp it. That's maybe an option on your metallic rounds. I don't think so. I crimp just about everything. On this, it's not an option. And then we go out and we have fun with it and we shoot it. So, not that much different. You did need that different press, but hopefully you went on the used market and found a really good deal on one. So, I want to talk a little bit about safety because this is something that is very, very different between metallic loading and shotgun reloading. With metallic loading, you get pressure warning signs in general. You'll see flattened primers, you'll see, stretched cases, you'll see those kind of things. With shotgun, you don't see pressure signs. Your pressure sign is when your shotgun blows up in your face. Shotguns operate at a lot lower pressure than most metallic cartridges do as part of it. In addition, because the primers have so much material to them, there's not really a way for it to blow out. Good thing on shotguns that's a little bit safer is the fact that it's a lot harder to have a bore obstruction from a previous round. You tend to, even the weakest powder charge tends to blow the wad all the way out. You can still have an obstructed bore, but a lot of times those are from the end of the shotgun getting stuck in mud or something heavy like that. Or one that happens far more commonly than I'd expect is someone's not paying attention and they have a 12-gauge shotgun and they drop a 20-gauge hull down it and it falls down and they don't even think about it and drop a 12-gauge on top of it. I've seen more than a few blown-up shotguns that way. So because there's no pressure signs, I know some of you have probably noticed I can be a bit loose with my load data, especially on pistol cartridges, of just kind of making up what I think it might be right. I don't play that game with shotgun. Follow the book data, because the only way to know if you're in safe pressure range or not is to send it off to a lab with a pressure transducer that tests the loads. Stick to the book data. And when I say stick to the book data, like I said, primers vary, hulls vary, wads vary. Don't just say, oh, this is a 1 ounce load using this powder, we're good. Make sure it all matches. In addition, like I said earlier, it uses bushings to throw the powder. Don't trust the bushing data. The volumetric density of powder will change depending on the lot of it, especially between different years. So when you open a new can of powder, you really need to test and make sure that you're still throwing the number of grains that you expect. And you may have to adjust your bushing size as a result. And then, like I said before, primers have a big difference. I once saw some data somewhere that changing primers could affect the pressure data by 2,000 or 3,000 cup. And when a shotgun's max pressure may be 20 or 22,000, that's like a 10 or more percent change. That's a big thing. So I don't want to scare you off of reloading shotgun. It's a lot of fun. It's not that hard. If you're loading buckshot or slugs or something like that, it's very rewarding. But I've heard more, we'll call them redneck tales. I've heard more redneck tales of people blowing shotguns up with hand loads than I have people blowing up rifles and pistols. It seems that everybody and their neighbor knew somebody back in the day that blew a shotgun up. Happens a lot. Whether it was a reloading mistake, whether it was they shoved the muzzle down. I've seen more in general blown up shotguns, even ignoring reloading. Whether they were shooting it through an old Damascus barrel, who knows? But it does happen more often. So follow the book, you know. And if you've got, search for the wad name. If you're loading WAA 12 wads, search for WAA 12, the powder, you know, WAA 12 Solo 1000 12 gauge. And you'll probably find some load data out there from a manufacturer or someone like BPI that really does some good work on their load data. Buy the books. Do it right. There is an ABCs of shotgun reloading or beginning shotgun reloading. Very, very good resource. So don't want to scare you off on it, but follow the book data. I know I'm the last person in the world to preach about that on the metallic side. I love going outside the norm. On shotgun, follow it. Until you've loaded probably 50 or 60,000 rounds, follow the book data. So, in summary, shotgun reloading, sort of kind of different than metallic. You're going to use different equipment. There's a couple different component types than there are with metallic. If you're getting into it to save money to go to the sporting clay range, think twice about it, because it's very hard to save money on 12 or 20 gauge random skeet loads. But there's a ton of money to be saved on specialty loads, especially if you're doing like buckshot or slugs and casting them. Also, if you're loading something that's not your standard load, like my 7/8 ounce, or sometimes I even load 3/4 ounce 12 gauge, I save a little bit on. If you're loading 16 gauge, 28 gauge, something like that, definitely a good bit of money to be saved there. And in general, your most expensive thing is going to be your shot. So if you guys have any questions, feel free to send them over. There are some very good resources out there. The Shotgun World forums have a lot of knowledge about reloading shotguns and some very serious guys out there. In addition, I would recommend reading up on the internet. Go on BPI's website. They have a kind of a knowledge base and some load data out there for free. There's tons of data. Read up. It's one where I don't know if I'd jump in wildly with both feet on it, but it can be fun. And I'll be honest, shotgun shooting from the shooting aspect is some of the most fun you can have bang for the buck. You can go to a pawn shop and buy a $150 pump action shotgun and go out and buy shells for $4 a box, which is almost cheaper than 9mm. Go buy a case of clays for, I want to say it's like $13, $14 for 100 of them, and a $10 hand thrower, and go out to a field and have a blast popping targets out of the air. You can throw them on the ground and shoot them on the ground. Shotguns are probably your cheapest barrier to entry for the amount of fun in the shooting world. So have fun, get out there, shoot. If you need any more info, don't hesitate to contact me. Don't hesitate to ask any kind of questions. If I don't know the answer, I will try and point you in the direction of someone who can. Thank you guys, and keep it safe.
This is Cheryl Todd of Gun Freedom Radio.
And I'm the other guy, Dan Todd, reminding you that we and the show you are listening to are proud members of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Find out more and check out all of the other great shows and content at selfdefenseradio.net.